So perhaps we could move on to consider the passages in Revelation, could we? We obviously cannot go into all the detail, but brothers should be free to bring out what they feel will be profitable for us. One comment that has often been made is that being shown the bride, the Lamb's wife, is in contrast to being shown the false system, Babylon. Chapter 17, the angel says, "Come here, I will show thee the sentence of the great harlot who sits upon the many waters." And she's described as Great Babylon. That city is in contrast to the holy city, isn't it? Babylon is described as Great Babylon. The church isn't described as the Great Church.
Or rather, as the Great City.
The church is described as the holy city.
Yeah, one is earthly and one is heavenly.
Yes.
And I think that needs to be stressed. It's coming down out of the heaven from God. That's where it's originating from. And we referred earlier on to all these things that were in the mind of God before time began. Well, it's coming out from the presence of God for the whole of the created realm to take account of.
Yes. I'm reminded that the Lord Jesus spoke of himself as having come from the Father, from with the Father. And here, this creation of God comes out from the presence of God,
having the glory of God.
Yeah. Is this all right, Clem?
Certainly. It's worth considering, isn't it? But it's, what sort of influence does it have to us in our minds and hearts today?
But do you think that a consideration of what will be delivers us from overoccupation with what is?
Yes, we've got something to look forward to, because a lot of what's happened has destroyed simple faith in this world. But God is saying, well, I'll bring you through that, and I'm going to show you what I have in mind here. I mean, I saw a new heavens and a new earth. What's that going to be like then?
You're going back to the beginning of the chapter.
Yes.
Yes, that's the eternal scene, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the eternal scene, and I think we generally understand, don't we, that that goes down to the end of verse 8, and from verse 9 we come back into the millennial scene. But yes, even the earth that is renewed in the world to come will pass away together with the heavens at the end of that period, won't it? And there'll be completely new heavens and new earth. But before God disposes or does away with the present heavens and earth, he's going to have his will fulfilled here, isn't he, on this earth, where Christ, his beloved Son, was once rejected and crucified. God's going to be glorified here, and Christ is going to be vindicated here. And this very scene, not those who've been removed in judgment, alas, but those who've been brought through on the earth into the world to come, will enjoy the beneficent influence of the church known as the Heavenly City. Is that right?
Well, I'd like to understand it more, but it sounds right according to the scriptures.
But the question is a good question, Clem, because we're here in time. We anticipate these things, and it should affect us in our lives and in the way we live for the Lord.
Yes.
And I think I mentioned it previously, Geoffrey. You know, when the Lord tells the parable of the miners, he's expecting something from those that are his that might be useful in that coming day. We will share, won't we, Geoffrey, in the administration of that millennial time?
Well, that is what we wanted to inquire into and get at in suggesting today's reading. But surely that's what particularly the later verses that we read in Revelation bring before us, that those on earth in the world to come will see the glory of God expressed in Christ and reflected in the church, and that will be a powerful influence upon them. Well, it says verse 24 of Revelation 21, the nations shall walk by its light, the kings of the earth bring their glory to it. And in the chapter 22, we have that the leaves of the tree will be for the healing of the nations. I don't fully understand that, but it's quite clear that Christ expressed in his church, the heavenly city, is going to influence and regulate what takes place in the kingdom on earth. But your thought was that in anticipating this coming time, we should be well occupied in what the Lord has entrusted to us for the time being, whether it's miners according to Matthew or talents according to Luke 19.
Or the other way round.
Yes, in Luke, it's the same amount given to
everyone.
And in Ephesians it says, to every one of us has been given a measure of grace according to the gift of the Christ, doesn't it? And that is, I think, what is going to develop, Michael, into what you were saying about Ephesians 2, chapter verse 7. The product of God's grace towards us in kindness in Christ.
The responsibility that, Terry, you were saying, that will be on the church in the millennial day, isn't that seen in 1 Corinthians 6? Don't you know that the saints shall judge the world? It speaks about governing angels too, doesn't it? And God wants to prepare us for that time.
This is the learning time, Michael.
Yeah.
And to everyone, he gave the same amount.
Mm. Mm.
So the whole question, Clem, is what are we doing with it? You know, there were those that produced a hundredfold, well, just to use the get back to scripture, 10 miners, he got another 9 and 5. But there was someone that didn't produce anything.
Because he didn't have the right appreciation of his master, do you think?
Yes, very much so.
How we relate to the Lord that will make all the difference. I know, understandably, in the news they've spoken about the late Queen being reunited with her husband. Mm-hmm. And God bless them with a long, happy marriage. But in glory, she's not going to be looking at Philip, she's going to be looking at the Lord. I'm thinking of the words of the hymn, the bride eyes not her garments, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on the King of Grace. Hope I've quoted it correctly.
But the whole experience of our Christian lives is to prepare us for service in the millennium. I don't know if everybody agrees with that, but that's how I see it. So it should be an exercise with us, Clem.
Yeah, what sort of service are we going to have in the millennium?
Well, Geoffrey's given us some indication, because there will be men on earth, there will be the nations, there will be the kings of the earth, and I do believe that they will be guided by the influence of heaven expressed through people like you and me, if the Lord should choose to use us. Is that right?
I think what Tony said earlier is important, that God, in giving us the scriptures, is not satisfying our curiosity. No. He's telling us what we need to know. And I think we have to say we don't know how much of what we have read here in Revelation will happen, but we are told it will happen. We are told there will be the light of God in the heavenly city, which is influencing the earth. We are told that there will be a relationship of those on earth with the heavenly city, in that they will bring, doesn't it say, their glory and honour to it, verse 26 of chapter 21. So there will be a relationship, but exactly how it will happen, I certainly can't say.
Do we perhaps get some faint pictures in the Old Testament? For example, I think of Daniel and his friends who were faithful to the Lord. God gave them a position of authority to rule over the pagan people around them.
Yes, well, we have a very good picture of the world to come in Solomon and his reign before he deteriorated, don't we, Tony?
I think so, yes. Well, I was just looking at Hebrews 11. Yeah. It goes right back to Abraham. He waited for a city which has foundations, of which God is the artificer and constructor. There's no other city like this one, is there?
No, a city which has foundations. The world around us is crumbling, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
It's breaking down in its systems and in all its functions, and will continue to do so. And it's just a question, we can pray about this, whether the passing of our late Queen will mean yet another form of godly restraint is removed. Well, you're going to say something, Alan.
Well, I was only thinking, when the Lord came, he described his coming as seeking goodly pearls, and having found one pearl of great value, sold all that he had in order to possess it. Now, we know that the pearl speaks about suffering. This chapter, these chapters don't talk about suffering, they speak about spectacular glory. I can't pronounce it as Michael did. He said it was a chrysolid. I can't know. Chrysopratis said it. How did you say it? Chrysopratis. But these gems were beyond description, really, aren't they? But what the Lord has done is through suffering.
Yeah.
And we're passed through suffering.
Yeah.
The church is going to pass through suffering, even yet, I think. We leave all the things that are beyond our description. When you look at the beauties of the pearls and the gold and the silver and the diamonds, are described here, these things are so great as beyond our comprehension almost.
Yeah.
It shows value, doesn't it? It's the value that God's put on the assembly.
Yes.
You know, well, because value can be measured in what it costs, and we right. know how much it costs the Lord.
Right.
Now, you mentioned the chrysoprase. There's an element of gold in that. The chryso half of it means gold.
Right.
If that helps. But again, it's value, something that
yes.
God considers, and we don't deserve it at all, but God considers us valuable.
Yes.
So you've spoken of the pearl, Alan, and the 12 gates of the city, verse 21 of chapter 21, are 12 pearls. Each one of the gates, respectively, was of one pearl. Do you think that suggests what the church is to Christ?
Yes, I think that's really good, because what the saints are passing through at the present time, it's tremendous, the suffering. If you yeah. know about these people in Africa and in the Middle East, the suffering is beyond anything that we've ever known.
Yes.
And yet, God is producing something out of it.
Yes, Terry referred earlier to Romans 8. Heirs of God and Christ joint heirs, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with
yes.
him.
Yes,
the yes. The Lord Jesus spoke of himself. He said, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?
Yes. Yes, that's lovely.
There are those who would say that the details here suggest that the Old Testament saints are included. I'd like some help on that.
You've preempted my next question. Tony, you took us to Abraham. Could you answer this, please?
Yes. Clearly, the Israel is involved, because the gates have the names of the 12 sons of Israel. But it doesn't seem to say any more about it than that. But Abraham, of course, was before Israel anyway.
But he looked for a city. That was what you referred to.
I think that's the principle. He looked for a city. Mm. He had dealings with cities like Sodom. Mm. He met the king of Sodom and rejected him. But the ancient cities were very grand, but they didn't have foundations like this one.
No, and it characterised his walk. He was a stranger and a sojourner.
Yes.
I think we have to be clear, don't we, that the church or assembly comprises those who have believed in Christ from Pentecost right through to the rapture. That's the church, isn't it? But it's quite clear that there will be other heavenly people. I don't see anything in the scriptures to suggest that Moses and David or even John the Baptist will come and walk on the earth again. Their part is heavenly. I think those that inhabit the earth in the world to come will be the Israel that is reborn through the days of tribulation that have yet to come, and those who have been gathered in largely as a result of their witness. Many scriptures show that there will be nations blessed in the world to come, that is to say on the earth. But as we saw in connection with the marriage of the Lamb in chapter 19, there are the friends of the bridegroom. There are those who are invited, so there are other saints, I think, in heaven besides the saints who comprise the church. Is that so, Tony?
Yeah, it says no one shall enter in, but only those who are written in the book of life of the Lamb, which is a very wide description. Every believing saint that will be have their name written in that book, won't they?
Yes. Does it not seem that those who can enter into the city, they can come in and out of the city? But I don't want to say a rash thing, but it seems to me that the presentation of the church as a city is symbolic. I mean, if I may put it this way, Christ hasn't married a city. He's married his beautiful wife, the church comprised of people. But is this not, I'm talking of the presentation of the heavenly city, it's an aspect of the church in a particular way. It's bringing out the administrative function of the church towards the earth. We can't limit the place of the church simply to being a city, can we? The church is the bride, is first and foremost the bride of Christ.
It's to do with a answer to his love, to his affection. Because that's what the Lord missed when he was here. And there were some that, in the Gospels you read, that they had him and they loved him.
Yeah.
And that, in the coming day, that's going to be seen marvellously, wonderfully, in the city, his bride. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, you know, love is something that is hidden in sometimes, but other times it comes out. And I think we've seen a little bit of it in what's happened in our government recently, that there's been a love there which perhaps we never realised. But we've got to see that we have our love for the Lord and for the Lord's people, and whoever they are, to support them, to pray for them. That's one of the things that comes out for me here anyway. It's going to be great. It's going to be something. Now, I've studied a bit about creation, and you know the power of the Lord in creation is something that the scientists are still wondering about. They can't understand how he did it, but he did do it, and we're here and we can enjoy the creation that he's given us, and it comes down to enter a new creation. Now, is that new, that word new, does it mean it never gets old? Because that's what some told me many, many years ago, that the translator gave the word in his dialect as something that's just new, it'll get on. But the man that he spoke to, who was a believer, said, no, that's not the right word.
Well, Michael here understands words, koinonos and neos, and what some means. One word means a new beginning, another one, it means more the idea of freshness, Michael.
Yeah.
What can you say about that?
But this was new that never goes old.
Yeah.
That's right, isn't there? There is a word for that, isn't there?
I'm thinking of how John's readers, those that first picked up a copy of this letter, this revelation, would surely be thinking of what God had already said in the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 40. Because there you've got a city, you've got measuring. I'm wondering if we should equally be looking at the similarities and differences there.
Did you say Ezekiel
40? Ezekiel 40.
Well, I think time has more or less gone, I think, but that's a very interesting subject, the correspondence between the heavenly city and the earthly. There are parallels on there. For example, in chapter 22 of Revelation, he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, going out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Well, when we go to Ezekiel 47, we have the living water flowing out from under the threshold of the house of God. And if I remember correctly, Joel and Zechariah both speak of possibly the same river. Mm. So there are a good many parallels, which perhaps illustrates, does it, how the earthly regime will be reflective of the heavenly.
Can we just have a word about his servant shall serve him?
Particularly if you give us that word.
No. I mean, people, they think heaven is a place of ease and just sitting around. And they talk about playing their harps and things. But, you know, this scene that the Lord is demonstrating to the world in that millennial period is one of service, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's one of activity. And everyone shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads.
So Mark will think that, isn't it? Everyone shall see his face.
Yeah.
You look at the Book of Esther, there were seven nobles, I think, who saw the king's face, and it was a great honour that they had that. And this is, in a sense, sort of the greatest thing is to see his face, isn't it? And the service is not a long way from him. Mm. You're serving directly to the Lord. Mm.
And let's just remind ourselves once more. When we see his face, it will be the face of a man.
Yeah.
A man who once hung upon a cross, and people plucked the hairs from his face and beat him. But what a glorious matter to see him there as he brings out the preciousness of what he has secured at Calvary, and he uses us to demonstrate that.
Yeah.
To the world. We shall serve him. Amazing privilege, isn't it? We're passing through this scene and we think we're unprofitable servants in the best of times, but we're going to be effective in that day.
Oh, yes.
With the parable where the one who's faithful is given authority over five cities and another, well, I mean, that's work, isn't it?
It is.
But
yeah.
Then again, you mentioned the heart, so I had to think back to Revelation 5, where it says about the 24 elders that they fall before the Lamb, and they each have a harp and golden bowls full of incenses, which are the prayers of the saints. So there's that as well.
It says, Terry, his servants shall serve him.
Yes.
Who's the him?
Well, I'll give you the wrong answer, so you better give me the right one.
Well, it says...
the God and the Lamb.
Yeah. But it's him.
Him.
God and the Lamb are so closely identified that a singular pronoun can be used.
Really?
God is expressed in the Lamb, in Christ, and Christ is expressed in his church, and the church reflects that glory to the world. That's a wonderful arrangement of God, isn't it?
What raised the wondrous thought, or who did it suggest, that we the church to glory brought, should with thy Son be blessed? Doesn't that encompass it?
O God, the thought was thine.
Amen.
And we're going well over the hour, but as to the creation, and you spoke of creation, Clem, our blessedness will be such that we won't need the light of the sun in the city.
Yeah.
The physical will be superseded by the shining of Christ.
Yes. He will be the sun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it, that Genesis starts with the creation, and I think it's the first 3 days of creation are before the sun is.
God.
So the light must come from God.
Yeah. Yes. I think
here we have the same thing. The Lord God shall shine upon them.
Yes. Yes. Well, that is true light.
Yeah.
God manifest in Christ. And there's nothing here to distract. There is at the moment. We get lots of distractions and thoughts invading our minds. But it is a holy city. And nothing unclean will enter in.
No, just to extend that thought, for the Lord God shall shine upon them, and they shall reign to the ages of ages.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Satan wanted, through the beast, for people to have his mark on the forehead. But here, of God's servants, they have his name on their forehead.
Yeah.
What a contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Could we sing number 64?
And can we?
Our God and Father, we do bless thee for those bright and blessed scenes where sin can never come. And we thank thee that we can call that place our home, and we can address thee as our Father, known to us as such through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, our Father, for the great extent of all that thou hast planned and yet will bring about for thy glory and for the blessing of man. We thank thee for what thou hast revealed in the passages that we have considered this afternoon. We thank thee for drawing aside the curtain, as it were, and showing us the glory, the preciousness, the harmony of what thou hast prepared for those who love thee. We pray that the Holy Spirit will broaden and deepen our understanding of these things. There's much that we do not yet understand, and perhaps much that we cannot understand while we're in present conditions. But we thank thee that thou dost set such a bright goal before our hearts of being with Christ and like him, and of being used, what a privilege, to be expressive of his glory to the earth in the coming day. Earth that's not like the present one, but it's renewed under the influence of Christ. Our Father, we thank thee for these things. Help us to live more in the light of them now, we pray. We confess our tendency to get so occupied and bogged down in earthly, even worldly things. We pray that yet deliver us from these tendencies and help us to have our hearts and minds on the things above, where the Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Amen. So we thank thee for one another who have come here today. May each one of us go away with a sense of thy blessing. Amen. Resting upon us. And so now we give thanks for the refreshments about to be served in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.